I just noticed now when I copy and pasted from the Bar Ilan last night. So it says Kisavo Nitzavim, but this pasuk is from Nitzavim, safely in Nitzavim. So the pasuk says, last week's parsha was a lot of brachos and klolos. So it says in this week's parsha, my kids would remember the pasuk better than I would. But Rei Bisparich Bilu Vavo Lemor Kishalom Yali. Right, that pasuk. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, lest there's somebody amongst you who thinks I don't have to accept these brachos and klalos. I can do what I want. I'll go according to the whims of my heart, and everything will be good. So Moshe says, no, that's not the case. Not the case at all. All these klalos will come upon you. So I think each word of this pasuk, of the end of the pasuk, is a little bit hard to translate for us. Tzmeya, we know. Tzmeya means thirsty. Somebody's thirsty, right? What does it mean? Svos harava es hatzmeya. Okay, so the Ramban will talk about it a little bit, but in general, svos, we're going to try to say is lashon of losif, to add on. Rava, rivaya, lirvaya. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Lirvaya means like you should be satiated, or you should be like satisfied with drink. So leman svos harava es hatzmeya. In order that somebody who is now thirsty will be added on to the person who used to be satisfied. No, somebody who is satisfied will become somebody who is thirsty. It's just a hard pasuk to translate. What's it trying to say? So really, really yisodistic Ramban about the Yetzer Hara in this week's parsha. So he says, Vizvarech b'levavo lemor. Right, he'll just bless himself in his heart, saying everything will be fine. Kishe yishma ha'achirim miskalalim ba'alos ha'ilim. When he hears other people, that right, they go to Hargrisim Har'eval, and hears everybody cursing him, or not cursing him, but cursing Am Yisrael, lest, you know, if you do this, if you do that. V'yisbarech b'machshavto. He's going to bless himself in his machshav, in his thoughts, in his heart. V'yorim b'libo shalom yeli mikol ele. Everything's going to be fine. I'm not going to be impacted by any of this. Kasher elech b'ta'avos libi. I'll follow the taivas of my heart, and nothing will be bad for me. V'ashem lo yisla. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him, no, Hashem will not forgive you. Anger will fire, will flame up against you when you sin. Lador o ladoros, for him, or for several generations, for his descendants. Oh yeah, tam ki lemor. What does it mean, ki? The person, I mean, the beginning of the pasuk says, ki, I forget the pasuk. Ki b'shus, thank you. Ki yeli shalom, ba'avur she'eneni mekabel alai ashvu. He says, no, my kavana, I have an opposite kavana. Everybody's saying har grizim har evil, and they're accepting it. And he's thinking to himself, I have kavana to not accept this alos and the shvus. Right? I'm not mekabel. Ki b'shus li b'eleich, kol yamai v'chol chefti ese. I'm not going to accept it. V'lo yove Hashem ba'avur she'eneni mekabel alos l'slochlo. Hashem is not going to be willing to forgive him because he didn't accept it. I mean, you can't. You can't exclude yourself from Am Yisrael. It's not like a personal acceptance. This is a Klal Yisrael acceptance, and no one person can decide for himself he's not going to be part of it. Since he's coming to all of Am Yisrael, and all of Am Yisrael is kind of, this is just an important idea I'm not going to focus on, but the idea of Am Yisrael and what it means to be part of Am Yisrael, what Am Yisrael is, maybe for a different Ramban, but he can't exclude himself. He's part of it. He's going to be included against his will in these alos and shuos. Right? Hataybag Shrirus. What's this lashon of shrirus? I translated it as whim. I feel like I remember that as an art school translation. If anybody has a craving. What's that? Craving. Okay, there you go. Shrirus libyelech. Craving, whim. I'll follow my heart's fancy. So what does it mean shrirus, says the Ramban? It means a very intense taiva, very intense passion. Kelashon chachamim sharir v'kayim. So in that context, it means something which somebody has a certain attitude or feeling about. This shtar, this thing, is absolutely like signed, sealed, and delivered. Like, it's absolutely final. But a certain just like intense feeling. V'chein bishuri bit. No, pasuk in Iyov, I'm not sure. Something about the strong feelings of my stomach. Uperush. Now the ikar for us. Okay, perush leman svos. Whoever came now, don't worry. We didn't miss anything critical yet. Okay, now it's the critical part. Leman svos haravas hatzmeya. To add on, right? Like you said at the beginning, to add on somebody who was not thirsty to somebody who is thirsty. What does that mean? Lehosif hasvea im hamit ave. To add on a person who is satisfied with somebody who is hungry. Ki nefesh svea tikre rava. A soul, a person who is satisfied, will be called somebody who's full, who's satisfied, will be called rava. Ki in viravisi nefesh akonim dashen v'amia sivi yaspiu. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which apparently means that I will satisfy the souls of the kohanim meaning that they should be fattened, I mean they should just be full of wonderful things, and my people will be full and satisfied with goodness. Their nefesh will be like a well-watered, like a satisfied garden. Somebody who has taiva, somebody who's desirous, is called somebody who's thirsty. Here it's in the positive context, but right? My soul is yearning for you. A person's soul, which is satisfied, it doesn't have an intense desire for something that's bad for it. When he gives in a little bit, he lets his guard down and he gives in a little bit to his taivas, and he fulfills it, he gives into something. As Yosef benafsho taiva yisera, then it's not going to satisfy him, it's going to do the opposite. It's going to just create a greater taiva for something even worse, something even bigger. He's going to be even thirstier, even more desirous for the thing he did before. It's not going to satisfy him, it's going to do the opposite. I have a funny little story. Many years ago, when I was learning in Eretz Chemda, and I had, as good Israeli Kol guys do, I had a package of wafers, and I was eating some wafers as I was learning. So I asked a friend of mine, Rav Tuvia Bar Ilan, I asked him, would you like a wafer? He's like, nah, I don't want a wafer. He didn't mention the Ramban, but he's explaining based on the Ramban. He's, listen, right now I'm pretty good. Like, I could go for a wafer, but I don't really want a wafer. If I have a wafer, then I'm going to really want more wafers. So I'm not even going to start with wafers. So that's exactly what the Ramban's saying. When you give in you let up your guard a little bit, so then it doesn't satisfy you at all. In fact, it's the opposite. Right? Pitis ave odid varim ra'im. I don't know if I read that, but he'll desire even worse things that he didn't really feel a desire for before. Somebody who's desirous for beautiful women, it's just going to increase his taiva for other worse things, or maybe just more of the same. It's a little bit of a graphic Gemara in Sukkah, but a very important Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says, there's a small organ in a person, I think we can guess what it's referring to, and the Gemara says, Masfio Raiv, if it's satisfied, it becomes hungry. Marivo, if it's hungry, Save, becomes satisfied. What does that mean? It's literal, but it's also a mashal. Somebody who gets into his taivas, it increases his taivas, it makes him hungry. Somebody who kind of controls them, so that makes him satisfied. It's the opposite of what we might expect. That is the Yetzer Hara in general. Ulakach Yomar Hakasa Beholich Bishrirus Libo. And therefore, the Pasuk is telling us about somebody who's following the whims of his heart. Somebody who's just saying, I don't care about these alos, these shvuos. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us we shouldn't follow Avodah Zarah, we shouldn't do all these things. He says, you know what, that's not my thing, and it's okay, I'll do what I want. Shehu im yimalei nafsho b'taivas hashrirus v'hachazakos alav v'hichzakos. I feel like, I know, is there a gear to change in the anywhere? Asher hitzmei alahem. If he gives into his nefesh for these taivos, these intense taivos that are upon him, that he's at that point hungry for thirsty for them, yosif nafsho harava im hatzmeya. Even the things that originally he was satisfied with, he wasn't desirous for, those things are going to be added on to his appetite. He has an appetite for Avera A. Avera is not the worst Avera. People do things that they're not supposed to do, little things. But the more he gives in, little by little, it'll just, the things he wasn't even hungry for before, it's going to add them on to his hunger. It's going to make him hungry for the worst things. Kis Avev Yitzma Lemash Haya Sabe Mimenu. It's going to make him hungry and thirsty for things he was satisfied with before. Kasher Hizbi Anaf Shabo. When he satisfies his nefesh with a little sin, it's going to make him hungry for a bigger sin. Ulefisha Hizkir Shorish Pora. Oh, whatever. This is a technical point about the law. Why are we talking about a lashon of being full versus being hungry, and rava literally means being watered versus being thirsty, because originally the pasuk was talking about you have a root amongst Am Yisrael who has inside the root of it, it has a shoresh para rosh vilana. It's full of rosh vilana, whatever galwood and something, I don't know, whatever these things are, like it's full of something bad. So then kiyosif hashoreshu It's just using an imagery of like watering, because the pasuk earlier was talking about a root and a plant that's growing, so that fits in with the idea of watering it. So this idea of the Ramban, it's very important. There's a direction that needs to be discussed, but not right now. I remember hearing a Sichas Musar from Rav Twersky. I forget what it was called. It was many years ago, but I'm sure it's somewhere in Wai Torah. But the idea of the nature of taiva is that you have to be on your guard, in the sense that people have to know where their weaknesses are. And it can get to a certain point where you're in a situation where as the Ramban is describing, you've let into something small and something smaller, or something a little bit bigger. And you get to a point where you can't even control yourself anymore. And we have to know ourselves. And it's nothing to be ashamed of, because everybody has taivas. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin, the way the Rambam explains it, that big Rabbanim would tell their Talmidim, I forget what the example is, but like, make sure I'm not alone with my daughter, or make sure I'm not alone with my animal. I forget what the examples were in the Gemara, but weird things that most people don't have Yitzharas for. Just to train their Talmidim, you shouldn't be embarrassed. People have taivas, and we have to be aware of our weaknesses and be aware of our limits. And somebody who thinks, if I'm in this situation and I start doing this and this and this, I really have to stop, because if I get to a certain point, the taiva is going to be so overwhelming, it's just not going to be able to be, I mean, it's possible, but it's going to be very unlikely I'm going to be able to overcome it. That's really yisod number one of this Ramban. But I want to focus now a little bit of this beautiful Alei Shur and a little bit of time that we have on the back of this page that I handed to you. So here, the context is, I really recommend, it's Chelek Beis, pages Mem Gimel through Mem Hei. Really take a look at it, because it's wonderful. We'll have a little bit of a snippet. But he begins with a mission in Perkei Avos and the parish of Rav Chaim Volozhin. I think the mission is, Have a Ratz Lemitzvah Kala Uborech Min HaChet U Min HaAvera. There's a little bit of... The two sides of the mission are not balanced. In order to get to the mitzvah, you have to run after it. In order to avoid the aveira, you have to run away from it. Because the default is that you're not doing mitzvos. And the default is that you're doing averas, right? To accomplish the mitzvah, you got to run and actively try to chase it down. And to not do the aveira, you have to run away from it. So that doesn't seem very fair. Why did Hashem do that to us? Why don't we want to wake up early for davening? Why don't we really want to just not talk at all during morning seder? Why don't we want those things? How can we want to do things that we're not supposed to do? So says the Alei Shur, based on Rav Chaim Volozhin, because then everybody would be tzaddikim gemurim, meaning there'd be no bechira. If we really had the sense that we wanted to serve Hashem in like a taiva kind of way, and then who would choose to do something that was wrong? Meaning that nobody would. It's so difficult, but that's how we build ourselves. That's how we achieve schar in Olam Hazeh, is the fact that we naturally want to do things which we're not supposed to do, and we don't actually have this intense desire to do avodas Hashem. Maybe as we'll get to, there is something that really does draw us to serving Hashem, but not the same superficial kind of physical draw to it like we have for taivos. But he says, I'll start in the second full paragraph on the sheet. Hare lule, it's a little bit out of context, so you'll forgive me, but look at the whole thing. Hare lule kinas ish mire'ehu. He's quoting, I think he's quoting the Medrash, which I might have actually quoted on this page, the other side. If not for the fact of people are jealous of each other, people want what the other person has, that could be a catalyst, that can motivate people to accomplish. Lohi aniv neha'olam, if I didn't see them, how come my friend's doing so well on this test, or how come he's making so much money, or he's able to buy that thing? People would just be very, very unproductive. They're productive. They're wonderful. The Medrash says, "Hinei tov ma'od," that he quoted before. Hashem saw the entire world. "Vihinei tov ma'od." What does it mean? "Vihinei tov ma'od." We have a yitzer hara. We want to have families. We want to do things. We want to accomplish things. That's fantastic. They benefit and they make a person accomplish, but they also can lead one to an avera and lead him astray. "V'hamitzvos rotzim limno amimenu." It wants to prevent the person from doing mitzvos. "V'shuv be'et." He's quoting a different medrash, or part of a different medrash that I was just quoting, that why is it that people like little babies that smell and they're dirty, as opposed to adults, they don't think they're so cute, and they don't want to like coddle them and do good for them. Even though gadol mechabed v'katan metanef, right? Why do we love kids even though they're little and they dirty us? And big people could give us honor and kavod, we don't love them as much. In kan kol tam lehov davka sakatan. There's nothing inherently rational about it. We love little kids. Elish gzeiras melachi. That's part of the nature of the world. And he's using that as also a mashal for our desires. Why are they? There's nothing inherent about them. That's just how we are. If that's true about our natural inclinations to help develop the world, in general, for taibos that we made up for ourselves, he talked on the first page about fashion and style, and maybe we could add technology. We just have the yitzharas. We don't need these things. We don't need the newest phone, and we don't need the newest. It's also like, you ever notice that sometimes a really fashionable thing at first just seems really weird looking. You know, it's like somebody who's really like on the cutting edge, their shirt will be weird looking. But then eventually we're like, well, I mean, if he's wearing it or that designer designed it, I guess it's cool. And then we kind of convince ourselves that it's cool. And then eventually it gets to the point where everybody has it. And then there's certain cycles of style. Like, why do we have to be wearing the latest style? What about that is inherently good? The answer is probably not much. I mean, you can't be like weird looking because you got to be part of society. People shouldn't look at you as a weirdo. That's the way the world works. But the idea we actually place value in these things, this is good, and there's something inherently important about it, is sheker. We've created for ourselves pleasures which there's nothing there. There's nothing good. It's all imagined. It's all imaginative. It's all the imagination. It attracts us. There's something attractive about it, but there's nothing real to it. The Adam Nimshach Acharav, person is attracted to it and he gives in. Miloy Enu Mekabel. Since a lot of taivos, there's nothing there. It's not satisfying a real need. It's nothing in our neshama that needs this thing. We're not going to be satisfied. It's just that we get our, once we feed that sense of desire and giving in, it just makes it greater and greater. That's the idea of the Gemara about the Eiver Katan Ba'adam. If you give in to your taivas, it just makes the appetite greater. Right? And this Ramban that we've been discussing. It's even a tie into Rosh Hashanah. Melech Evyon appeared Aleph Rosh Hashanah B'Musaf. What does he mean, Melech Evyon? He reads the whole piyut as a mashal. I'm assuming it's based on other earlier sources. But Melech Evyon as the Yetzer Hara. Melech Ayidei Koch HaMashiach Shelo, it rules over us, this Melech Evyon, this poor king, the Yetzer Hara, because it has this control over us. The Evyon, but it's poor, it's empty. B'Ta'anugim HaMedumim Shunosein, it gives us very poor satisfaction. It's not satisfying. Hein Lulei Koch HaMashiach Avach Eloya Bocher B'Divrei HaOlam Ba'od Ba'Avera V'Kulim HaYiratzen L'Mitzvah. Not for this superficial, this Yetzer Hara, we would all choose to do the mitzvos. But that's not the way Hashem created the world. And we have to stop here, but this in one line to say what he's saying. On the other hand, when it comes to Torah and mitzvos, we don't have this intense desire to do them. But on the other hand, when somebody actually builds a connection with Kiddush and builds a connection with Torah and mitzvos, he does feel connected and a desire to do it, right? The story about Rav Lichtenstein, I think it was after Tisha B'Av, we were looking for him to start the Suda, and he was learning Gemara. He's like, I'm much hungrier for Gemara than I am for the meal. I mean, he had an actual desire to learn Torah after Tisha B'Av. He just couldn't control himself. That is for somebody who's on a high level. Once he's built that connection with Torah and mitzvos and Kedusha, so he is connected to it. But it's not something that happens innately. Okay, to summarize, an incredibly important Ramban about the nature of the Yetzer Hara. L'man Tzvos Harava Satzmeya, that someone who gives it a little bit, it'll add on the satisfied one to the one who becomes thirsty, meaning it makes the Yetzer Hara grow bigger and bigger. And the two takeaways from that are appreciating, often when it comes to taivos, kind of checking, is there anything real? What do I get out of giving into this? What's it really going to provide me with, besides maybe a sense of guilt and just a greater Yetzirah? And beyond that, the idea of appreciating one's limits and having boundaries for ourselves, because we should realize that the more we give in, the stronger the appetite will become. Adka.